Part 3, Chapter 6, The Faculties, Part 2. We have seen that the first faculty of the new man relates to the gift of igniting faith in human beings ready for it. Secondly, the faculty of image projection develops. Thirdly, the faculty of etching the intellectual analysis of the latter on the pupil's consciousness. Fourthly, the faculty of the mastery of powers, etc. It concerns the new will. Fifthly, the synthesis of these four faculties in the gift of healing. Only through this fifth faculty does the teacher become a true magician in the sense of the gnosis. We shall now establish why this is so. We have described the teacher as a worker, standing in first-hand connection with the gnosis and reflecting the Gnostic power into the seeker's system. He can indeed undertake glorious work with this faculty of reflection and projection. He kindles faith in the seeker and possesses an illustrative faculty capable of projecting something of the glory and majesty of reality. He has a faculty of knowledge to analyze what he thus imparts and has, to some extent, mastery of powers to intervene in the right manner. Yet in undertaking this fourfold work, the teacher is not yet able to effect a fundamental change in the system, in the microcosm of the pupil.
The pupil, when entering the school, is indeed full of new interests. He is most devoted and undoubtedly disposed towards a new mode of life. He is also a person of sound morals and is highly respectable. But no change of type has yet occurred, and this alone would be proof of possessing another consciousness. Were we to remain true to our ordinary type and, after losing sight of one another for 10 years, to meet again, we would be able to say to one another, "You have become older, your hair has grown grey, but you've not changed a bit." Old friends who have not met for years can say this, but it means, at the same time, that not the slightest inner change has taken place. If, however, a pupil in the spiritual school is touched by the gnosis, an absolute change of type instantly comes about, and when meeting again, people would say, "How much you have changed." That change principally concerns a change of character, for a human being's character is the synthesis of his entire magnetic system, and as long as that magnetic system, the character, the fundamental character qualities remain unchanged, the human being has not truly entered the process of healing. He may undoubtedly demonstrate a pure mode of life, an ethical change, be a person of high moral standing, but a true and fundamental change has not yet taken place. At most, it may be said that the pupil has learnt philosophically and hypothetically to understand and experience the new human status under the teacher's guidance. But there is as yet no question of a biological, structural change, of a biological, structural experience of the new life, and therefore neither of healing. At that moment, the teacher does not yet possess the gift of healing, or if he does, he cannot apply it because the pupil is not yet suited or open to it. We have ascertained that healing means making whole, sanctifying. When a person has been admitted to such a process, it can be noticed at once, namely, through most extraordinary changes occurring in the microcosm. As we said, these changes are connected with a change of character of the fundamental magnetic system. It is not enough for the teacher to use his transforming faculty to be able to admit a pupil to the power of healing. If that were possible, one could speak of a new kind of magnetic healing method. As so ardently desired in some circles, the transference of powers would then be effected, for instance, by the laying on of hands, or via the gesture of blessing, or by passing the hands over the body, or by mantras. No, whether or not a pupil is suited to enter the process of healing is primarily determined by his state of being. He must indeed be prepared for it. He must demonstrate complete readiness, and that he will persevere, whatever happens. The teacher possessing the fifth faculty actually does nothing for such a pupil. Not a single gesture is made, not a single prayer formula uttered. what really does happen, we shall endeavor to explain. Imagine that a pupil is suited for healing, that he is beginning to partake of the process of sanctification. This means that the pupil will be directly linked to the power of the gnosis, without any intermediary, without even the teacher as an intermediary. Under the guidance of the teacher, he has passed through the preliminary process that began when he entered the spiritual school, and he has now progressed to healing, to a direct connection with the gnosis. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit mentioned so many times in the Bible, which the churches so ardently seek. Establishing this link requires what might be called an ignition. This being ignited by the Spirit of God, as the ancient Rosicrucians called the establishing of this connection, is truly an ignition, an inflaming. This ignition, this establishment of contact, is effected through the teacher possessing the fifth faculty. Just think of an electric wire as a simple example. An electric wire has been installed, everything has been taken care of, the light bulbs have been fitted, but the connection with the main cable must still be made. The instant this is done, energy flows into the electric wire, and the lights can glow. In the case of the pupil in our example, a fundamental difficulty arises in this respect. The difficulty consists of a most disruptive difference in vibration, in potential. The entire microcosmic system of the pupil is a great deal lower in vibration than the life field of the gnosis, and a forcible penetration of the candidate system by the gnosis would wreak great havoc. It could even result in burning and various inflammatory diseases. The teacher therefore acts as the igniter, as a temporary and impersonal mediator. He places himself mentally between the gnosis and the pupil, evokes for him the powers of the gnosis, weakens their vibration for a time to soften the first blow for him, and withdraws immediately once contact has been made. In this case, the teacher therefore resembles the electrician who correctly makes the connection between the main cable and the newly installed electric wire. This work can succeed only when the pupil, at the psychological moment, is totally unprepared for it. It can happen when he or she is engaged in extremely mundane work. For instance, while washing dishes at home, the teacher is thus completely absent, so any exaltation, dialectical demonstration, or display of self-importance is completely excluded. This process has no personal character whatsoever. Once this ignition has taken place, the pupil has become a brother or sister of the apostolic circle. There are three phases of instruction, activity, and growth in the spiritual school: the orientating and preliminary school, also known as the forecourt, the school of the Rosy Cross. Secondly, the school of higher consciousness, in which the preliminary process is further developed. And thirdly, the apostolic circle, in which the pupil enters into first-hand connection with the power of the gnosis. Therefore, to be called to the apostolic circle means simultaneously to be changed. The call and the change take place in a highly impersonal manner, without the teacher being present, without any rite, service, mantra, laying on of hands, gesture of blessing, or anything of the kind. One might ask, does the gift of healing then have nothing to do with any physical recuperation? For instance, when the body suffers so much that mental impediments might arise or the work be retarded? This question may be answered as follows. When the pupil enters into first-hand connection with the gnosis, his whole state of well-being is in the hands of the brotherhood. The pupil has then been linked to the seven focal points, to the seven schools, to the 7x7 powers. To those versed in the universal doctrine, it is known that the number 7, or the law of 7, has an important place in the working of the magnetic vibration of the universal brotherhood. There is a law of sevenfold fulfillment. When by entering the apostolic circle, a pupil spontaneously evokes this law for himself, in this divine harmony, he will undoubtedly receive all the powers he needs to fulfill his task, for as long as is useful and necessary, his constitution will be kept well balanced, even though his health may be very weak. Perhaps you will now also understand why we call the possessor of the fifth faculty a magician by the grace of God. He or she is the impersonal igniter of divine salvation in the service of the universal brotherhood. And clearly, if this work is to be done properly, the teacher must yet command another, a sixth faculty, viz. The faculty of distinguishing spirits, as Paul calls it. There are laws of discernment with which the magic servant must be acquainted. They determine who is ready for help in certain phases. Likes or dislikes do not enter into it. The teacher does not allow himself to be guided by them. Even if he were to dislike the candidate, when the pupil is ready, the master is there. This is why we so strongly emphasize the impersonal character of the work. Even if you were very much liked, and the teacher were linked to you in true friendship. If you are not yet ready for a certain phase of help, that help cannot be given to you. There are sublime laws that determine, that regulate, who is suited for a certain phase. You will understand that knowledge of the workings and methods of this faculty cannot be made known outside the spiritual school.